from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And it's just maybe Key Brian Hayes does not have a good concept of how to be a good major league hitter. I think that's the proof. Really, the optimism for him stems from two things. A COVID year that most people have just chucked out the window anyway. Like, who won it that year? The Dodgers, right? And people call it like a bastardized World Series.
Yeah, it was 30 games.
It wasn't really the World Series. It wasn't really a season. Baseball's
all about
the long season.
He was great in those 30 games. There's no doubt about that.
Yes, he was terrific. He had OPS over 1,000. And then
that was in August, and that's where he hit last year. So maybe we're right on the fringe. Just like Brian Reynolds in June.
Except
Brian Hayes, this month is August.
Except Brian Reynolds has actually managed to keep it going and not have a swoon.
True.
I just,
but you know, there are
we're
guys
basing
like
this
that.
Off of. Yeah, I know. Adam LaRoche was.
I know.
Yes,
exactly.
I know. Adam LaRoche would hit 120, and then suddenly the calendar would turn to what was it, like June or July, and he became, give me the best hitting first baseman ever, Albert Pujols.
Yeah, by then the Pirates were more than 10 games out.
Correct.
So the stakes on the games didn't really matter.
I guess
at all.
My thing here is I think we've seen it in two flashes of probably about 90 games combined, and his real body of work is everything else he's done.
Greg Brown with us right now, getting ready to call this big game tonight as the Pirates look for a series win against the Cardinals. There is a buzz around this team. People are hyped. They want to see the Pirates knock off the Cardinals and keep it going. Hottest team in baseball, winner of 9 of 11. I'll be there tonight. And Greg is brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Greg, we were just talking about Key Brian Hayes not in the lineup tonight, what Jared Triolo's in, and what Derek Shelton said about Hayes. Did not use the back injury as an excuse, but did acknowledge that it is a lingering thing. Dan Zangrilli said on Friday that he's not exactly sure that Key Brian Hayes loves being a Pirate. Do you have anything to add to that point?
That would surprise me. I don't have anything to add at all to that. He may have maybe talked to him, but I've not heard that at all. To my knowledge, he loves being a Pirate. What he doesn't love is not contributing. I think that really frustrates Key Brian. Obviously, it would frustrate anyone. And I just talked to Shelton for the pregame and wondered about giving him 3 straight days off, maybe tomorrow, and then the off day travel to Phoenix for a Thursday off day. But he said, no, he'll be back in there tomorrow, and just giving him a day off and getting Jared Triolo in there, getting him some at-bats. But I'm not giving up on Key Brian Hayes.
What would you say if I asked you to just the old pie chart, Brownie? He's struggled mightily this year at the plate, obviously. How much of that pie do you think is his back bothering him, and how much of it is basically something else, i.e. a bad approach, just whatever, not going to ever be a good hitter at this level? How would you divide that up?
Well, I mean, I think the back is always going to play a bit of a role. I think we've talked about this before when it comes to like Christian Yelich, and there have been others who've had to deal, Neil Walker, who've had to deal with the back issues most of their careers, and they just find ways to do it. I think there are ebbs and flows with it. I think there are days when it feels better than others, depending on routines, off days, where they're playing. Travel plays a role, no doubt. Cross-country trips, I'm sure, have a lot to do. Anybody who's had to deal with back issues understands it. So it's hard to parse that out, Chris. I think, you know, for for me, just talking to other people who know hitting, it's more just kind of a mechanics and approach, more that than anything else right now. And the fact that he's done it in the past, and it's not been full seasons, understand that, but there have been more than just snippets. There have been long stretches of very effective and impactful hitting at the major league level. We've seen it over his years. That's a reason why I'm not going to give up on him. And I think maybe I'm going to be more patient with players than I have been in the past because of guys like Rowdy Tellez. Just when you're just ready to be done with them and get them out of town, they end up, if you're patient enough, they can reward you with that patience. But the Pirates saw something in Key Brian Hayes. That's the reason they signed him that big contract. So they sure as heck aren't giving up on him.
Is Nunnally still allowed to work with him in season, or is that only in the offseason, Greg, because he's not technically a Pirates coach anymore? Do we know about that?
Well, I mean, I think they would be free to work with anyone. I mean, they do that. We've also discussed this, that the players, pitchers alike, pitchers and position players, they have their own, whether sure. It's family members, coaches. I think Rowdy Tellez mentioned that to Dan Zangrilli several weeks ago, that he talked to, if not worked with, someone else. So,
but can Nunnally show up to PNC Park and get in the cage with him, Greg? Is
no,
that?
I don't think that would be necessarily appropriate. No.
Okay.
But if he's around town, and I don't know his schedule, but if he's around, and they also can talk, through communicate through the just a phone call or even Zoom or whatnot. But all kinds of ways to communicate with whomever these players want to deal with.
Brownie, more of a positive one and not just a Key Brian Hayes, us trying to figure out what's wrong with him question. Luis Ortiz, this shocked me. I knew he had been having a very good season, but measured by wins above replacement, he has been as good as Mitch Keller, according to that stat, in terms of that war. 2.5 wins above replacement. That's top 10 in the National League right now. What do you think has been the switch that flipped or the change with Luis Ortiz that has allowed him, to blossom this year?
And Donnie is loving Luis Ortiz, Greg. He said untouchable. You can't trade the guy.
Well, he might be right at this point. He's a great story. There have been some great stories on this team this year, the last couple of years, but he's maybe not to the degree of a Mitch Keller, where Keller found himself, after two or three years and highly touted prospect, found himself back in the minor leagues in the bullpen for a time, figured it out during offseason. And Ortiz, relatively young in terms of major league experience, but burst onto the scene with that high velocity fastball, good stuff, and attacked hitters. And then, I think became timid, didn't, as they say, trust his stuff as he should. I think the bullpen did him wonders, the velocity back up. And this is the guy I think the Pirates thought they were going to get eventually, kind of part of the plan when they brought him to the big leagues a couple years ago as a rookie. And now you're seeing that velocity back up. But more than anything else, he's throwing strikes and quality strikes.
Yes,
and
he is.
All the confidence in the world on the mound right now. It's tremendous to see.
Greg Brown brought to you by Gutter Helmet for a limited time. Enjoy up to 35% off Gutter Helmet. No money down or payments for 1 year. Conditions apply. Jeff Passan, who has pretty much become the biggest insider in baseball, right up there with Ken Rosenthal, Greg, wrote this today on the Pirates. Pirates could acquire some bats on the margins at the deadline while being open to moving a starter such as Bailey Falter or a back-end reliever, be it Aroldis Chapman, or the options who would require a bigger return, setup man Colin Holderman or closer David Bednar. The idea that the Pirates are open to trading David Bednar, do you think that that's right?
Well, first of all, you're going to ask me to assume that they're open to trading him, right?
Well, I'm just going by what
Passan
wrote.
That. I mean, nobody knows that. Jeff Passan doesn't know that. And this, this happens every time around the trade deadline. Everyone assumes that this team, this general manager is talking about moving this guy, open to trading this guy. We just have no idea what is true and what is not. And so do you want the Pirates to improve this year and beyond? And would you be willing as a fan to allow Ben Cherington to do whatever it takes to improve the team this year and beyond? I guess that might be a general question for anybody.
I'll just ask you as a fan, do you think he's open to trading David Bednar?
I have no idea. None. I have no idea what's going through Ben.
Do you think he should be?
I think that Ben should be open to trading just about. See, I'm in your camp. I think you and Chris have both said this, that barring a wholesale shift of all the talent on this team that would bury them for the next several years, barring that, you almost want them to do anything they can, not just to get into the playoffs, but I keep pushing this narrative, by the way. I'm not giving up on the division. I don't want them back in to the – not back into the playoffs. That's not fair. But I'd prefer to have my sights set on the National League Central Division, beat out every other team in the division, win that crown first and foremost, worry about the wild card later. And if that's my mindset, then I'm almost putting all my chips in, almost. There are certainly going to be opportunities to move certain players, maybe bigger names. There are going to be, I think, opportunities maybe to tweak it, add kind of fringe-type players. But I'm almost open to just about anything if I'm Ben Chandler, if I'm running this team.
So that would mean your Bubba Chandlers and your Tamar Johnsons and players of that ilk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to. The other thing, too, about that is it's fun to play GM. I do the same thing. But, my gosh, it's so hard to do because you don't know what's on the table. You don't know what – if someone were to say, I'll give you – who would it be? I can't even think of a name right now.
Luis Robert Jr.
Yeah. Would you be willing to move Bubba Chandler for him?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes.
Okay, well, then I don't know if Ben Sherrington would. Maybe he would. I don't know.
Well, Dallas Braden said he thinks you could get Brent Rooker for one of the Pirates' top 25 prospects. That would be nice, Greg.
Yeah, I guess, I talked to you the other day, Andrew, and I didn't realize that Rooker had played such little outfield. So I don't know. I guess I shouldn't speak. I don't know. He has played some.
He said he's an athlete and he'll make the routine play, is what he told me and Mulsey.
That's what Dallas Braden said?
Yep. Am I misquoting him, Mulsey?
No, that's the correct quote. Here, I'll do another hypothetical trade for you, Brownie. I think Pony said this one was getting kicked around. The Orioles have a third, it's a guy who's actually played third and first base. He can do either one. He's played mostly third base. He is currently blocked in AAA for them, and he's got an OPS of well over 1,000. But this guy is 22 years old. He looks like he is a corner infielder of the future with big power. Would you trade David Bednar for that man?
Well, you're talking to me right now without me having any knowledge of this player, so I don't know if I would or not. I don't know. It would take a lot to trade David Bednar. The one thing I'll say about trading anybody, it sounds awful that they would even consider trading David Bednar. And again, that's a huge assumption.
Sure.
I don't believe that they are thinking about that. But if in a hypothetical, they're thinking about trading a David Bednar, well, you better get some gigantic return in return for a guy like David Bednar. And I'm sure if they would even consider it.
He's the 15th ranked prospect in baseball.
Like that.
He's the 15th ranked prospect in baseball.
I mean, now you're that's a bit of a gamble because you're assuming now he's going to fit right into the big league lineup.
Agree.
And succeed.
Yep. It's
when
a
you
tough
know
call.
What you have in a proven closer in David Bednar, I'm not sure I'd be willing to do that.
Greg, last one. When we talk at this time next week, is your guess the Pirates will have made a trade?
Yes.
Okay.
Will they have made a trade to sell and to buy?
Oh, the thread the needle approach.
I don't know. I don't know how they'll do it. I just think that they'll get somebody here, and I don't have a name. Don't know if it's a big name. My total guess would be that if they will between now and the deadline, and it won't be anybody that we're talking about right now. It won't be a big name like that.
It'll be out of our radar.
It'll be an addition that I think would help the offense, but somebody that nobody's really talking about. That's my guess.
Greg, I'll be up there tonight. I'll see you there.
All right, look forward to it. It's going to be a big crowd. I heard that the advance is huge. Wonder why.
Pony's going to be there, that's why.
And I've also predicted a perfect game.
Okay. Okay. That's good. You know, Kevin Young predicted an Andrew McCutchen home run the other night. So maybe you'll be right with the prediction.
Well, we had Braden on,
game.
So I was thinking it was serendipitous. You know?
No, perfect.
Yeah.
Good idea.
See you, Greg.
See you, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Does that make it more of a possibility that you could trade Henry Davis, perhaps?
No, I think the thing with Henry is Henry's a part of our future, an important part of our future, and we have to get him right. And very much like in Joey's case, you know, it doesn't happen on the time frame that everybody wants it to happen or expects it to happen. I mean, it's difficult to come to the big leagues and be a very productive player. I think we're fortunate that we have not only Henry, but we have Andy Rodriguez. Having catching depth is something that's extremely important in the game. You know, you're always one foul tip away from something happening. In Henry's case, we just need him to continue to get better. But, you know, we feel both he and Indy are a really important part of our future.
Derek Shelton on Henry Davis. I'll tell you why we brought that up, or why I'm playing that clip for you in a second. Shelton saying a foul tip can be big time problems for a catcher. And could be a major injury for a catcher. Your heart care matters. Visit the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened today. That is proactive health care. UPMC Health System doing an excellent job. Donnie Football Debrief is about 10 or so minutes away. We've got Paul Skeens on the mound. You just heard Greg Brown say that expecting a huge crowd at PNC Park, a big Tuesday night crowd for Skeens. We'll get into what we expect from him tonight a little bit later on in the show. Henry Davis, Jim Bowden, the former Pirates front office man and former MLB GM, was asked about Henry Davis being a trade chip. And he said today that he thinks Davis has more value as a trade chip than he does to the Pirates. And he would put him in a package for Jazz Chisholm with the Marlins. Now, that Shelton clip makes you think that Henry Davis is really not someone that they're serious about trading. And you know what? If you circle back to what Passan wrote, if they really are thinking more about their future and not this year, then they probably don't want to trade Henry Davis, because they would be punting on one of their biggest
player
acquisitions. Yep.
He's a 1-1 guy.
And I think if you really believe that it's about winning this year, mm-hmm. I think some GMs would just cut their losses and say the hell with it. No one's going to care if I trade a former number one pick and give up on him after a couple of years to try to win right this second.
Especially if the name coming back to you in the deal is a pretty attractive name.
Yeah. But if you're not putting a lot of eggs in the 2024 basket, then you prioritize the hoarding approach that Shelton gave you in that answer. Bart, Davis, Rodriguez.
Well, I also
collect
think,
as many catchers like you can, like they're freaking Pokemon cards.
Well,
which,
also,
by the way, is something I never did as a kid.
Did you do Pogs?
Yes.
So you had the slammer and everything else? I never did Pogs.
Donnie, do you even know what Pogs are?
No, I've never heard of that.
Oh, what a phenomenon Pogs were.
Not into them, though. I was not a Pogs guy.
They were just circular pieces of cardboard.
Correct.
With different things on them.
Was it actually made out of cardboard? I thought they were like more like plastic, no?
Some were cardboard, some were plastic, some were heavier
than
others. And
how did you play Pogs, though?
I honestly never played. I just collected them.
Weren't you supposed to like have the big, heavier one that was a slammer, and you were supposed to like throw it
down? Yeah, but I'm actually not sure how the rules... I do remember slammers, but I don't remember what the point of the slammer was or why you needed one.
I don't remember how you scored points or anything.
Me neither. Yeah.
Anyway, Donnie, yes, Pogs. We're ancient, by the way. I think they actually want, though, Henry Davis. Did you do Pokemon, by the way? Charizard, that kind of thing?
I mean, I knew what Pokemon was. I never really got into it.
Do
like
Lennox
that,
and
Yu-Gi-Oh.
Ace collect them?
No, dude.
No?
No.
I mean, your kid knows every dinosaur name,
he's
so I thought there was a chance he would collect Pokemon
he's into,
cards.
Like, Nintendo Switch games right now. The South Park episode that made fun of Pokemon is one of my all-time favorites. But anyway... The whole Henry Davis thing, every time I hear them talk about him and he's a big piece of the future, you know what else I think? Like, I go back to a statement Cherington made, and we've kind of referenced it a lot. I don't want to say it's flown low under the radar. He's talked a bunch about improvements within our team, guys that we already have here. I think they find it a lot more plausible and definitely more affordable to, like, in terms of finding an impact bat, that a guy like Davis that they drafted to be an impact bat would just turn it around and figure it out. That's the much more cost-effective way to go about trying to improve your offense. Pray that you can figure out a solution for a guy that you drafted almost exclusively because you thought he'd probably hit about 280 or so and hit 20 home runs a year.
Sounds like Greg doesn't think they'll trade Bednar. He did not exactly shut down the idea that they were going to trade somebody who's on the major league roster right now with the idea that it helps keep them good for a long time, even though it sounds like Greg's preference is like ours to try to maximize this year. The last point he made about how they're going to make a move, but it's probably going to be for someone that's so under the radar and we haven't even talked about them, again, backs up what Passan wrote. Bat on the margin.
That's just not going to excite anybody. I guess, to be fair...
Well, Marlon Byrd didn't exactly
knock
people's socks off.
Did Jay Happ excite people?
No,
not really.
Didn't.
So, I mean, I shouldn't rip it and say if you do that, it's not going to work. We've seen it work multiple times, both with pitchers and hitters that
they've
acquired.
I mean, the Braves
acquired.
Made moves like that a couple of years ago that weren't big, sexy deadline deals, and they won a World Series with
I do,
Jorge Soler.
Do you think
Soler
it's more important that they get a big-time
like
player or just that they get active and try to get players,
No,
period?
Like that, yes, B.
So, you think so? Honestly, that's a lower ask then for them.
Ben
Charrington, the ask for Ben... No. I'm saying
that's my bare minimum.
Okay, I'm... More important than, like, is it more important that they get a big name or that they just show that they are trying to augment this team? Like, that they bring in players, even if they're bats on the margins, who are at least upgrades over what they have, and there is a clear sign from the front office, yes, we understand this isn't good enough. No, we're not going to go and get Luis Robert Jr., but we are going to get some guys here who are better.
You know what? Honestly, I'm fine with that.
I think most people would be because all they want is a sign that the front office understands that this team can compete and is going to try to help them even a little bit.
That music means it's time for a Donnie Football debrief with the Steelers reporting to camp tomorrow, and it's with a new sponsor. Let's welcome in Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Donnie?
The debrief, July 23, 2024. Saw this yesterday after the debrief was already completed. So I wanted to save it for today. Are you too familiar at all with the Untold sports series on Netflix?
I am.
They've done
it or
documentaries
not.
On The Malice in the Palace, Tim Donaghy, The Crooked Referee.
Okay. I've not seen any of it, but it sounds like something I would like.
They also have one on a minor league hockey team that is one of my favorite documentaries ever.
The Dansbury team?
Yeah, the Trashers.
Okay.
Phenomenal work. They are putting out their next volume, season, whatever you want to call it. They call it Volume 4 on August 20th. The first episode, The Murder of Air McNair.
Ooh.
We got a Steve McNair documentary less than a month away.
I know the basic story there was tragic. It was his mistress who shot him and then shot herself, right? Murder-suicide,
oh,
I believe.
Geez.
I believe. I don't know that much more about it, though. Like, it's a sordid story and a sad story, but that probably says a lot about me, something I would watch.
He was absolutely, for me, probably like a top 10 favorite player, like, growing up. Like, watching the guy play as a 6-, 7-, 8-year-old kid.
He was blood and guts, man, out there, and he could run. He could do everything.
Weren't the Titans kind of a team that you were... They weren't your favorite team like the Steelers, but you had a soft spot for them?
Yeah, I mean, you had Steve McNair, you had Eddie George. Plus, I think they have, like, especially then, more so than now, they had, like, as dumb as it sounds, the colors and the uniform that attract kids, I feel. Like, they had, like, the cool, teal. Like, baby blue color that draw you in.
They also tried to, I think, style themselves as an organization in terms of their identity on the field, like, kind of Steelers light. They wanted to be tough. They wanted to be ultra physical. Jeff Fisher would keep them right between 7 and 9 wins most years.
Keith Bullock.
They had your Keith Bullocks.
I like Keith Bullock.
You forgot Derek Mason Dixon line.
Yeah, I did like him.
Their best player, now he's gone too, Frank Wycheck, their best offensive threat besides Eddie George, was an H-back. Yeah, they were a good team for many years, even though Jeff Fisher's the butt of a lot of jokes because of how it tended to go late in his career. They were pretty good there for a while.
That playoff win against the Steelers obviously sucks given how it happened.
Yeah. I don't know why. I thought you were going to say that they're doing something on some expose on AB. Untold story.
Now, that'll be a good one, but I think we have years down the road until that.
He just had another kid.
Yeah, I think he has a few more.
Did you see that, Mulsey?
He's got a few more chapters
to write. The same mother who's been the mother of most of them?
I don't know. He was sending out on Instagram. Amanda was telling me on Instagram live. And then what's the thing where you click on the person's avatar on Instagram, their stories?
Yeah.
I think it's what it's called. And just like pictures of him in the delivery room taking pictures of his baby ass naked, his junk is out and everything.
I saw one where he just like poked his head in.
Yeah. Seventh kid. And he just declared bankruptcy.
I mean, I feel like I could probably say this pretty safely. I feel bad for his kids because I can't imagine that he's the kind of parent you would hope.
But he seems to take a big interest in the oldest one who's, I think, getting recruited by...
I'm sure, yeah, I've never heard of anything with him and the other kids. And I don't know, even if you take a big interest in your kids, is all the stuff he's been involved with really good for your kids to be around?
You don't think CTE ESPN is a petri dish for learning?
No, I'm talking about remember he was holed up in that house for a while?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was grotesque.
He seems like a pretty bad guy,
ago.
And I can't imagine that's helped his kids live like normal lives.
His documentary will be wild one day.
I kind of pay to watch one on Pac-Man Jones, believe it or not.
Well, he's had a nice...
Well, the whole thing, that's what I mean.
He's had a nice renaissance. He's had a nice show now.
Took in Chris Henry's kid, raised him like his own child, basically, is my understanding. That's why I would be interested to watch a Pac-Man Jones one, because I think it's an actual interesting life. Who's one athlete, Pony, living or dead, that you would want to see a full-on documentary about? Like, they get the Ken Burns treatment. That somebody just gets all the access you could ever want to have.
Dan Vogelbach? No, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Why? Who's you have someone
I'm
readily available
like
a, who
I'm
pops into your
you,
head right away?
Let me put it this way. If you could get the knowledge that you were getting the true story here about this person and not, like, PR fluff.
Sure. I get what you're saying.
Do you know who I think I might actually still pick, even though it's obvious, is MJ. Just, like, what a complete psycho he was, like, competitively as far as all that.
Why, because you don't feel like The Last Dance did that good enough?
No, I mean, there's still obviously some final cut privileges. It's either he's one. I would be pretty damn interested to learn about, like, Hank Aaron. Like, as far deep into that as you could go, or Bill Russell, guys like that.
stuff they had to go through.
Well, like guys who were
field or
great black athletes at a time when segregation was still very much happening, when they were being treated horribly, even in their own home cities sometimes. I think Aaron's is maybe a little more compelling because it's the Deep South.
I got to tell you something. But this debrief, though, crystallized something that I've been thinking about the last few days. We are literally hours away from the Steelers showing up in Latrobe, and Donnie wanted to talk about Steve McNair. Think about that.
Well, Donnie's brought this
up as
his own volition.
It's like they're a little bit they're kind of out of
your
sight, out of mind.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. That's unintentional take plagiarism. Donnie has floated that very thought multiple times in the last 7 days. He brought it up to me. He was like,
we one
just
of the
aren't
shows where
about
it was
them.
Just Malzi and me. It was we were like, yeah, we're a month away from them playing an actual game. We have talked so little about
that was,
them.
That was
since
exactly what it was. He just said we've talked about them hardly at all. That's what he did. He said the first preseason game is a month away, and I just kind of scratched my head and said, weird. And you know what's really struck me about it? It's not like they've had an uneventful offseason.
Oh, my God, they've giant storylines.
They've had probably the biggest and most splashy and interesting offseason they've ever had since this station's been on the air. I can think of maybe the 2010. That was for bad off-the-field reasons.
Their most beloved player is in a contract stalemate with the organization.
Correct.
They have huge questions at quarterback. It's an offensive, pass-driven league, and after George Pickens, for the organization that gets praised up and down for drafting and developing wide receivers, they don't have any. They have one. You can't turn on a national show that's talking about the draft or the Steelers without mm-hmm. them bringing up, my God, they do so good. They do such a good job at finding wide receivers, and they don't have any. Right,
because they traded one away for a guy that most people think is a mediocre cornerback. Yeah, they emptied their quarterback room. Their most beloved player's in a contract dispute. They have one receiver. They just had a draft that's probably going to yield how many starters out of the first couple picks? At
right.
least two.
Yep.
Like, they are laden with storylines, and yet... Oh, and they keep getting mentioned as a prominent potential suitor for the biggest trade name available.
I think that's the power of Paul Skeens.
Oh.
I think Skeens is the guy that's the biggest reason why.
If the Pirates were doing this with sort of smoke and mirrors and they were just a little bit above 500 like they are, but they didn't have a marquee guy, I actually...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.